It's 5 minutes with me.
Hey, friends, Marco here. Welcome to 5 minutes with Marco. So maybe a few of you have heard this story before because I wrote some version of it in a book one time, but it's worth telling again. About 27 years ago, maybe 28 years ago, a long time ago, I was moving into a role at my church where I would have less weekly contact with teenagers, and I knew that was going to kill me. So as much for my own well-being as theirs, I identified 3 7th or 8th grade guys in my junior high ministry and started meeting with them as a group, as guys that I wanted to mentor and disciple. I saw both a spiritual interest and leadership potential in each of them. I think back on this little group and our weekly meetings for 2 years as really one of my many fond memories, one of my most fond memories over my more than 40 years of middle school ministry. One of those guys was Michael. And other than one or two Facebook connections in the 15 years after Michael moved up to high school and I moved down to San Diego, I'd mostly lost touch with him until he reached out to me and asked if we could have coffee. All I knew was that Michael had, in the years since, seemed to drift away from the church and maybe his faith. I didn't really know. While visiting the city that Michael now lived in, I got to spend a couple hours with him. It was a blast to reconnect and hear his story. He'd become a highly committed volunteer youth worker at his church, which of course brought me great joy. But hearing Michael's story fascinated me. His freshman year of high school, Michael had a traumatic head injury from a skateboard accident and was incapacitated for 3 months. Even though he'd been extremely involved in the youth ministry up to that point, no students called him while he was out. No one came to visit him. A couple leaders reached out, but no students, and no one, students or leaders, visited him. The Sunday morning he returned, not one person asked him where he'd been or how he was or expressed that they'd missed him. A switch flipped, he said, and he suddenly, in that space, remember, he was a 14-year-old ninth grader at the time, he concluded that he didn't belong, and he never came back. A dozen years passed, Michael got involved in a bunch of destructive habits, dropped out of high school, even though he was always an extremely intelligent guy. He got his GED, got a loan from his dad, and opened a skateboard shop, which failed. He moved to another city and sort of drifted through life. He said he never really dropped his belief that God existed, but he was very angry with the church. And over time, this anger at the church grew to a calcified belief that the church was a joke and that merely a collective of hypocrites. After a dozen years, he decided to get his life together. He stopped partying, got a job, and then a bunch of promotions, bought a condo, bought a nice car. He told me he took stock of his life and thought he was doing pretty good, but had an unresolved question from his 14-year-old self about church. Michael felt the pull to try out a local church he'd heard about. Funny thing is, while it might have been God's spirit prompting him to return, Michael's entire reason for giving it a shot was to prove to himself that he was right about how cold and hypocritical the church was. By this time, Michael had full sleeve tattoos on both arms, and he purposely wore a sleeveless shirt that morning as an intentional dare to whoever would look at him funny or say something negative about his tattoos. And he parked at the farthest corner of the parking lot to increase the opportunity for that negative interaction to take place prior to entering so he wouldn't have to stay. Michael was walking across the parking lot of this church, steeling himself for the negative response he was confident he would receive. But the first person he encountered said, "Great tats, man. Who does your work?" And that was it. Michael was back. Here's what I find stunning about this story, both halves of it. The actions that caused Michael to leave and the action that opened the door to his return feel so very, very minor. They weren't about structures or methodologies or programming or curriculum or buildings or youth rooms. They were, both negative and positive, about expressing or not expressing, "You belong and we want you here." Amazing. Seems like a puff of air, something so featherweight. But in negative and thankfully redemptive ways, these seemingly minor expressions shaped Michael's story more than anything else over those 15 years. How is your youth ministry embodying the value of belonging?
The Youth Cartel Podcast Network.